I'm up to Parakah V of the Hilchos Kriya Shema. In most standard editions, this will be in Daf Tes Amud Beis. Halacha Aleph. Nashim Vavadim Uktanim Pturim Kriya Shema. Women are not free, are not obligated to read the Shema. Neither are slaves or children. Umalandam is Aktanim Lukrosa Bonosa, and you teach children to read it in its proper time. And they say the blessings before and afterwards. To train them in the performance of mitzvahs. If a person was concerned and rushing to do a mitzvah, he's free of any other mitzvah as well as Kriya Shema. Therefore, a groom who married a virgin and does not have to read Shema until he has relations with his wife, because he's concerned that she is a virgin. In those times, the betrothal used to take place a considerable amount of time before the actual marriage. If she wouldn't be a virgin, there'd be a serious question of adultery. So he's concerned with a legitimate mitzvah concern. Because his mind is not clear, because he might find that she was not a virgin. If he waited until Matzoi Shabbos, Saturday night, and did not consummate the marriage, did not have a relationship with her, he has to read from Saturday night and onward. Because he's calmed down and his heart is familiar with her already, even though he didn't have a sexual relationship with her since he's been living with her for a few days, he's already calmed down, and he has no excuse at this point no longer to read the Shema. In the time of the Gemara, the Rambam was reflecting, they used to get married little Ravi on Tuesday night, so they were given 4 days in which generally they would have relations with their wife. If they did not on one of those days, then, as the Rambam says, he's no longer nervous, and he has to read the Shema. Halacha Beis, Avalanosis Ba'ula, if a person marries a woman who is not a virgin, Afishosik B'mitzvah, even though he's doing a mitzvah by getting married, Chayiv Likros, he still has to read the Shema, Ho Vein Lo Dova Shemavavol Daito, there's nothing that confuses him. Chayin Kol Kiyotzu B'zeh, the same would be true in any case where there is nothing interrupting his reading of the Shema, so even though he's doing a mitzvah, he should do the Shema as well. Halacha Gimel, Mishameis Lo Meishu Chayiv L'Sabalolo, if a close relative over whom you're supposed to mourn died, he is free of reading the Shema until he buries this relative. Because his mind is not free to read the Shema. If someone was guarding the dead, even if it's not his relative, he is free of reading the Shema. Two people were guarding the dead, so one of them watches while the other slips out and reads the Shema in a different place. Then he returns, and the other guard slips out and reads the Shema. Also, if a person is digging a grave for the dead, he is free of reading the Shema. You do not take out the dead to be buried close to the time of the Shema, unless it was a great person. If they did begin and take him out, the Gizman of Kriya, the time of Kriya Shema, arrived in Malavanus Amesin, they're in the middle of accompanying the dead, which is a mitzvah. So the law is like this. Whoever the bier, that is the bed in which the dead person is lying, needs them, that they are carrying it. Konosa mita v'chlopem v'chlufei chlopem, the carriers of the bed, those that are slated to replace them and the replacements of the replacements. Ben shoyel lefnei mita, ben shoyel achar mita, whether they're in front or in back of the bed, of the coffin that is, they're free of liability, they're free of obligation to read the Shema, since they are involved in the carrying of the coffin, which is a mitzvah. V'sham alavin shein la mita tzorach ben chayavim, the other people walking the funeral procession are obligated, since the coffin does not need them. If they were eulogizing the dead, and the time of Shema arrived, if the dead person is in front of them. Each one separately slips out, the Koran, and reads the Shema, and then they return to the eulogy. If the dead is not there, the dead body, then the whole, all of the people read the Shema together. And the mourner sits silently. So he's not obligated to read the Shema until he buries his dead. Halacha Vav. Kabros amez v'chazru, if they bury the dead and returned. V'chazru avelim kabot and chumim, the mourners return to accept the comforting. The way they would do it is this. All of the people would follow the mourners from the site of the burial to a place where the mourners would stand, and they would make a line, the kabot and chumim, to accept the comfort of the people would comfort the mourners. So the rule is like this. If the people can begin and finish even the first pasuk of the Shema before reaching this line where they have to comfort the mourners, they should begin. If not, they shouldn't begin. First they should comfort the mourners. And after they leave the mourners, they should then read the Shema. Now the people are standing in these lines to comfort the mourners. The ones on the inside who see the mourners are free of reading the Shema. The ones on the outside, since they do not see the mourners, so even though they're standing there, but they're in the inside, not on the side next to where you can see the mourners, therefore they're obligated in reading the Shema, being come on in their place where they're standing. Right, it says, the Rav learns a different pshat than most commentaries, including the Rambam, learn in the Gemara. He learns when it says those that are inside do not and see the dead do not have to read the Shema. That doesn't mean just anyone who pushes his way in. It means those who are supposed to see the mourners. In other words, those relatives of the mourners who are comforting them. And they, and only they, are the ones who are freed of reading the Shema. The plain pshat of the Gemara is like the Rambam, though. That's how most of the commentaries learn. Whoever is free of reading the Shema, if he wants to be strict and read it, he may read it, provided that he has a calm mind. So even though he doesn't have to, as long as he can concentrate, he may do so. If the person who is free of obligation is mixed up, he is excited, and he's not allowed to read the Shema until he calms down. Now the Rabbi disagrees. He says, so what if he's excited? Let him read it. Even if he's so excited that he doesn't have enough concentration, so it doesn't count as the Shema, so he's just reading the Torah. It's not as if he's so it shouldn't be considered that he's throwing off the yoke of heaven by not reading the Shema. Now, it's not like prayer that you're not supposed to say if you can't concentrate. Because here it's only reading the Torah, no harm is done. We're not afraid now that it would look arrogant that he has so much concentration he can concentrate despite the fact of his excitement. Why not? Because most people who read the Shema and Daven know nowadays that we only do it out of habit, unfortunately, and we do not have adequate kavanah anyway. So if he's reading it during the time of his excitement, he's not really exhibiting any arrogance. The sages of the Gemara also said that they didn't have adequate kavana. And he quotes a few places. I thank my head, said one of the Amoraim, that when I came to Modim, I bowed automatically. Because I wasn't really concentrating, and I didn't consciously bow, but I just bowed automatically. Vida Chamer, another one of the Maraim, said, Avi Malid Yumsin Begot Salusa. He was counting the rows of bricks in the middle of his prayer, so he wasn't really concentrating adequately. Vida Chamer, another one said, Dechoshev Ma Mamti Asel Gabi Malka. He was thinking who would bring the myrtle branch before the king at Kalashano. So we see that even they had trouble having adequate kavana, adequate intention. The Kesef Mishnah points out that this whole distinction that nowadays we don't have such kavana anyway, and you might as well read, I mean, this is something the Tosfos, it's an interpretation of the Tosfos, The Rambam doesn't really have to be bound by that interpretation. Halacha ches. Kolatz meim chayavim b'kriya shema. Whoever is tamei, is ritually unfit, unclean, he still has to read the Shema. Mavarchim l'pnei alach ra'a v'im b'tumasim. They can say also the blessing before and afterwards, even though they're tamei. Api shev shalehen alas b'tumasim bo b'yom. Even though they could purify themselves from the tuma on that day. For example, anogim b'sheretz, or benida v'zava, or mishkova, or kiyotze behen. Someone who touches a dead creeping creature, or a woman who is a nida, or a woman who is a zava, or her bed, who is tamei. So even though he can just go to the mikveh and become tar, he can still read the Shema even before that. Ezra and his court instituted a rule that a balkeri, one who has had a seminal omission, should not read the Shema. And they excluded him from the rules of other people who are tamei, who could read it. Until he goes to the mikveh. This institution, this law, did not spread among all Jews. And most of the congregation could not abide by it. Therefore, they nullified this law. It's already the custom of all Jews to read the Torah, to read the Shema, even if they are Balei Keri. The words of Torah do not become unclean. They are standing in a state of holiness and cleanness all of the time. Shinam, as it says, Hello, Kodvar Ekaishnam Hashem, for, and thus my words are like fire, says God. My Eishen and Makabelas Tuma, just as fire does not receive impurity, cannot become impure. Avdivitara and Makabam Tuma, the words of Torah also do not become Tuma.